Hi, it's Diane, and it is Wednesday, March 8th. I'm here with the 1 o'clock group. So far we have Kathy and Jody and Lori. Who wants to start us out with check-ins and celebrations?
I guess I can go. This is Lori. Well, celebrations are that we had a good 2 weeks since we've last spoke, and I think one of the challenges we were trying to do is in terms of timing of homework, and so we sat down. My daughter's 13 and a half. We sat down and the beginning when she gets home from school and together put together a time frame for the night and then review it afterwards when she says it only takes 20 minutes to do math and it's 40 minutes into it. So I think that's going pretty well. We have had the instant when she does take a break and she's just a fiend with Grey's Anatomy. And so we made an agreement that she says it was 42 minutes to watch a whole program and then she would go back. That would be her long break. And then sure enough, I'd come back in 45 minutes and she'd be on the next episode. So I think Diane had mentioned that before, that might be an issue. So we'll have to figure out a plan of tackling that. And unfortunately, in her English class, she now has a project to review a program, and she's choosing Grey's Anatomy. So last night at 9:30 when I came up and she was writing her paper and watching Grey's Anatomy, she was saying that she was doing it for research. About, oh, that's good. Anyway, but all in all, good week.
Very innovative. I love that. Love that. Okay. Congratulations. Well, it sounds like you're in very good spirits about it, Lori. I think that's part of it, is just kind of staying in this place where it's like, okay, even though we've still got to make some adjustments and still got to make some tweaks, it's moving forward with some progress. So congratulations.
Yep.
Jody or Kathy?
I'll go. Things are continuing to go well with my daughter. She cleaned her room.
Yay!
She did. She's 18 and she cleaned her room. Not that she hasn't tried before, but she actually even like put her closet back together and put clothes where they belong. I'm using air quotes. Of course, it's my system. But that was big, and we just keep seeing more and more maturity from her and feeling more confident about her going to school next year. So that we'll celebrate that.
Yeah.
Now my son is home for spring break, and I was going to talk to him about school and started with, let's pick a time that we can talk about it, you know, and I'm getting pushback. He was sick with mono at the beginning of the semester, which we didn't need that, and he's behind still, and his response is, hey, one, I'm on it, which scares me, and two, I'm supposed to take care of this myself now, remember? So we still haven't had a good talk, so that would mm-hmm. be something that I need to work on soon.
Yeah. So what do you want to hold him accountable for, Jody?
Being caught up in his classes.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Well, and I think I'm not judging whether it's fair or not. My instinct was, how far away is that, right? So it's kind of, you know, is it about holding him accountable for having a process for making sure he knows what all the missing assignments are? Is it about holding him accountable to communicate with you where he's at in getting caught up with assignments? Is it about getting caught up with the assignment? So there's all of these steps between where he is right now and where you ultimately want him to be, which is caught up. And
right.
And so part of this is, you know, yes, he's supposed to be on top of it, and yes, you know that it's not easy for him. And so, you know, part of it is kind of, how do you communicate with him that you know that he's got it, and you're paying for college. I'm assuming you're paying for college and not him. Is that
yeah.
true?
Yes, that's
and
correct.
So and you're paying for college or whatever your language is, that, you know, yes, and I'm still your mom or whatever, you know, kind of whatever it is. There's some part of you I'm hearing that wants to put a boundary in place. And
yeah.
And so it's about, how do you communicate that with him and empower him all at the same time? So what comes up for you as I'm saying that?
I guess still giving him, letting him control how he communicates this with me. There's a lot of fear with all of this because this is kind of a, it's not a last chance. I'm aware that it's a long journey, but it's a really big second chance, and it just raises so much fear in me. It's so hard not to panic and try to take control because I want him to stay. I want him to finish this out. He's on the soccer team. He loves that part. I mean, it's a good school for him. It's just, I'm so desperate that it's hard for me.
Well, Sodi, it makes perfect sense. The stakes are high and it's scary for you. And so I'm curious, you know, so we're going to talk about curiosity today, but it's like, this is a great area to kind of look at what's going on for you. And so, how interested are you in making this the area where you take aim today?
Oh, very, very interested.
Okay.
I'm all in.
So how would you articulate it so I can write it down?
You mean in terms of today's topic or just?
Yeah. No, just in terms of how would you say I'm taking aim on ...
Okay. I'm taking aim on having a productive communication with my son about his progress in school.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Because it's a step before, you know, it's like, it's kind of partly about how to help him to be successful, but it's like really how to communicate with him.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, great. Kathy, I'm going to check in and let us control that thing.
Let's see. My daughter's coming to dinner more often, seemingly. She doesn't stay long, but she shows up occasionally and not completely surly the whole time. So that's sort of a win. When I pushed back on, yes, you have to come to dinner, she lies on the table and just is miserable. So we agreed that she would come to dinner 3 times a week. And I don't think she's planning it so much, but she just knows that she's expected to come sometimes and sort of sneaks it in there. So I'm going to take that and say it's good.
Well, so what do you notice? What do you suspect is the key driver in making her feel more comfortable coming willingly?
Takeout. she's sharing a little bit more, not a lot. But just in snippets, and it's funny, and so I think she might be feeling like she has something to contribute. My son is at college, and, you know, that changes the dynamic some, and it gives her a little more space. And the other win, I will say for sure, was that my son got in trouble at school, and he just turned 18. He's a freshman, in September he turned 18. You know, at first I was sort of like, should I come to this hearing? What should we do? And he was sort of like, you know, I think I can handle it. There's not really much you can do. And I did talk to somebody at the school, but then, you know, we sort of left him alone and let him do what he had to do, and he's dealing with the consequences. And I just felt really free and relieved that he can, you know, that he's got to own his consequences, and he was ready to do that. So it makes me feel like he knows what he's, you know, he knows what he's choosing, and he's going to be okay.
Well, I like that. So he's going to be okay. I just, you know, it's just like, shoo, feel this sense of relief.
Even now, I'm like, he wants to go sell Cutco knives or something. He's got to go to some training far away, and I just want to go get him our car, you know, like, and I'm thinking, that's insane. But,
well, I got to tell you, so Elaine's daughter sold Cutco 2 or 3 summers ago, so it's a very common job for kids.
Yeah. But just me wanting to like, go give him our car to go to this training just feels like I'm trying baby him.
So, Kathy, where do you want to take aim for our conversation today?
I'm not sure. I feel like when I'm curious with my daughter, I ask a lot of questions and she leaps. Or she's sort of like, whatever, you know, but just makes a funny comment, but it never really gets answered. She doesn't have the stamina to answer my questions or to think that deeply. And I just, it's sort of like how anything good we sort of fall into, but there's nothing agreed or really formalized or expected. I don't know if maybe the best thing to do for taking aim, and I apologize, I know I sound like I'm slurping, but I'm learning to talk with Invisalign trays in my mouth, is just really laying out expectations. I think the problem is that we've never really figured out the consequences, and so we've never really formally laid it out. But I think just it really helps her to have set expectations, and then we can say, "Hey, you did a good job."
So can I stop you for a second? Is there a particular area? Because expectations feel like a big thing. So expectations around what specifically, Kathy?
And just interacting with the family because she hides a lot.
So expectations in terms of family together time, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Or like, in terms of communication style, or what do you, I mean?
I think it's more about her actually sharing stuff. I don't think she doesn't speak that much unless she needs something, or unless she sort of, you know, utters something sort of funny under her breath and as a comment, as an aside. But there's not really, there's nothing about, you know, here's what we want to know and here are good ways to do it.
So hang on a second. So it sounds like you'd like her to be more open with you. What is it about sharing more that's important to you?
I think it's the same idea, to know she's okay or she's aware and she is getting the help she needs, or she knows how to if she needs it. And, I mean, to be honest, yeah, I think the fact that she's going to contribute, you know, she's got a lot to say or she's got a lot to be, and I want to see that, and I want her to share that.
Yeah. So can I challenge you, rather than, I'm sorry, keep going.
It feels really far off, but yeah.
So what it sounds like, I'm going to challenge you to give it a slight spin and tell me if this resonates for you, Kathy, but it sounds like what you really want is you want her to be a little bit more open with you and with the rest of the family. And when you add the, I want to set expectations for openness, it really kind of directs it in a way that, you know, kind of you're telling her what she needs to do, as opposed to kind of saying, I'd like her to be more open, and I want to create an environment so she can be more open, or have a conversation to see what she's willing to do. But it really, you know, when we've got older kids like we do, it's really about kind of how to leave it in their court as much as we can, but to ask for what we want. So how willing are you to kind of leave it at, you know, taking aim on helping her to be more open with you rather than setting an expectation for openness? Does that make sense?
I think so, though I'm not sure how to do that.
Well, let's play with it a little bit as we go through this, because I think that it's, and it may be that part of it is that you do communicate what you would like, whether it's as an expectation or as a request or whatever it is. But if the place you're taking aim is on the openness, you might come up with a lot of different ways that you might incite some change there. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. Sorry. Great. Lori, where do you want to take aim today?
I think I want to, I don't know, the issues that we regularly have, which haven't been that many in the past week, but are kind of me not keeping my cool. And she's already very emotional, explosive, and she's been having some difficulties with one of her closest friend. And so it's maybe taking aim at, I don't know, the tone of the home, and I think that the curiosity thing would be interesting, because looking at, you know, why is she freaking out over all this, or why when I ask her something that I think is relatively benign, she gets very emotional, sometimes I get emotional, or sometimes I just kind of try to be very quiet. So it's more of just kind of taking aim at keeping my cool, at not judging her, and kind of looking at it, figuring out why she's reacting the way she is.
Okay. So it sounds like there's several pieces of this. This is the whole tone of the home, and part of that is kind of how she reacts to you, how you react to her, and the dynamic between the two. And I'm wondering so does that feel like a solid place for you to take aim, or does it feel kind of big? I just want to check in, because it could be enormous, or it could be just the right size for you. I can't tell.
Well, I think it's big, because it's also sometimes I react because I'm like, why are you doing that? Just, you know, something from, I made her lunch, and oh my God, the food smelled strange because it was frozen stuff that I thought out. It was perfectly fine, so she wouldn't even have it. I'm like, oh my God, just be normal and eat, you know? So I react like that. So you have this judging, you know?
So do you want to take aim on your reactions specifically when you notice judgments come in?
Yeah, I just, there's nothing worse than telling her to be normal, but it's just like, we fight over, I mean, just the trigger was the food, because from day one of bringing her home from Russia, it's been like, the food has been an issue, and she's so thin, and so it's just like, we've had all these different things, and it's just like, I mean, I've said to her, why can't I just give you a sandwich? Why can't you just be like other kids, you know, and it's the worst thing to say.
But it's such an easy place to get into, because you feel so out of control, and the fear comes in. It's kind of the same thing Jody was talking about before. It gets really scary, because you want to make it right for her and you want to help her.
Well, and I don't want her to think that I'm rejecting her, because yes, I would love to have a child that would just, that, you know, when we go out to family things, I can say, okay, oh, my sister's having pork stuff. Well, she's not going to eat that. So what is Lily going to have? You know, it's like, she's 13 now. It was okay when she was 5 or 6 to make her macaroni and cheese. But it's kind of like, I have to, it's hard. I can't, it's just, I just am getting so tired of it. And it's hard for me to, you know, relax about it, because in the big picture, who cares? You know?
Well, but it's hard, and it wears you out, and it's exhausting having a high maintenance kid for 14 years. It is. Just there's no question about that. So, how does that feel? Like, I can sense the emotion there. I can hear the emotion there. Does that feel like the right place to take aim, Lori?
Can you repeat that? Like, I mean, there's just so much in what I just said that it's just like, I don't know if I just try to you know, it's easy to, and after the fact, say, gosh, why am I arguing? She's such a wonderful kid. There's all these other things, you know, so we'll have the same food forever, you know, but it's not that big. So I don't know what
it what sounds like. You're taking aim on your own reaction, and specifically in areas where you notice that she's different, and you're getting frustrated with how she is. Kind of you're judging, kind of you know, there's that flavor of judgment that comes in. Is that?
Yeah, fair? That's good. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Yeah. So I want to just loop back around. Everybody's clear on where they're taking aim?
Yep.
Cool. So we're on
yes,
page.
Definitely.
Great. Thanks. We're on page 44 talking about curiosity. And I love this because it's a really very, very helpful tool for a couple of reasons. One is that, I don't know if you're analytical, but I'm like really analytical, and it gives us a chance to kind of gather information and figure out what's really going on. And the other piece of it is that it's really a good energy shifter. And what I mean by that is that if we find ourselves going, oh, I can't believe she's 14 and all she'll eat is macaroni and cheese, and we get, I'm going to pick on you, Lori, sorry, but you know, it's kind of like we get judgy because we all do it. If we could even just shift it a little and go, wow, isn't that really interesting that she's 14 years old and all she'll eat is macaroni and cheese? Very curious. I wonder what's going on with that. And just that subtle difference, I'm still looking at the same exact situation, but if I'm looking at it from a place of curiosity, my energy is higher, my judgment is lower. And when every time we judge, we are more likely to be triggered. And it can be demotivating for our kids. It can be demotivating for ourselves. It can be exhausting. It produces stress when we judge. And so kind of staying in this place of curiosity or, you know, becoming curious in any situation is a great way to kind of keep our energy up and keep our kids' energy up as well. It can be much more motivating. And it really does help us to stay more in problem-solving mode than what naturally happens is that we tend to shut down. So you might get curious about what's going on with your kid in a particular situation. You might get curious about what's going on from an executive function perspective with your child. There's a really good exercise that we do. We did it when we covered executive function earlier in the year, where you look at kind of what's really going on in each of these situations for my child from an executive function perspective. It might be that you get curious about what's going on for me. You know, what are some of my triggers in this situation? Kind of there's that trigger exercise we do where we say, okay, what's the thought that I'm having behind this trigger? What's the feeling I'm having behind this trigger? What's the fear about? I mean, both Lori and Jody were talking about some of the fears that we have as parents. It's like, what's really going on with that? Where did that thought come from? How long have I had that thought? Kind of really doing some exploring to say, you know, what's really going on here in this moment so that we can kind of try and focus on moving the situation forward. So I like this. It says, whenever you get confused, you don't know what to do or say, you find yourself a little shocked by someone else's behavior, get curious. It works almost every time. So what comes up for all of you guys as we talk about this idea of getting curious?
I have a hard time, and we talked about this last time, I have a hard time with the pause part. I go into lecture pretty fast, and I need maybe some scripts where...
Well, so hang on a second. So let's get curious about that. So
Okay. What
do you think is going on that's making it hard for you to pause?
Fear.
Fear of?
And fear of him failing. With
so
my daughter,
catastrophizing in the moment. So you're getting curious, and the part of your brain that's catastrophizing is taking over from the part of your brain that's curious. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So if your thought is, oh, my gosh, he's going to fail, he's never going to make it, What's a more supportive thought that you are willing to consider might also be true?
I wonder if he knows how to ask for help.
Okay.
I wonder if he knows. I've talked to a friend of mine who's got a couple of ADHD children, and I said, we talked about the gap, the gap between their reality and reality. And so if he thinks that he's going to get caught up in a, you know, it's no big deal, I got this, I'm going to get caught up. The fact is, it's a bigger gap than he thinks. It's like there's a whole lot more work involved than he thinks there is.
So what I'm hearing is, so the first thought is, oh my gosh, he's gonna fail. And then the second thought is, I wonder if he needs help. So the second thought feels like your brain's throwing a solution in there. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Which is, okay. So I want to roll it back because we really want to kind of stay with the thought and the feeling that you're having. So instead of thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to fail, what else might also be true? Even though
he's behind, he will work with his professors and get caught up.
So how on a scale of 0 to 10, how bought in are you to that statement?
He does have some supports up there, so I'll say a 6.
Okay. So I'm wondering whether there's some way you could say it so that even though he's behind, I have confidence that he has a good team that can help him to get caught up, as opposed to saying, or something like that, that's maybe this shy of he will get caught up.
Yes, I like that.
See, because I think that this, so it needs to be something that you're willing to consider is true, and about an 8 or a 9, right? Because it's kind of, it can't feel too Pollyanna, or the fear shows up
right.
Again.
Yes.
So what's
yeah,
your,
we've been
what's
burned
your
enough.
Statement? Yeah. So what's your statement?
Well, I like that a lot. I like the, even though he's behind, I'm confident he has a team that can help him.
Great.
A team that he will use that can help him.
Great. Okay. So from a trigger management perspective, the idea is you notice the catastrophizing showing up. You take a deep breath. You relax your shoulders. You take a sip of water, whatever you do to kind of reclaim your brain, and you say, I'm willing to consider that even though he's behind, he's got a great team that he can call on that'll help him to get caught up. How does that
yeah.
feel?
It feels a lot better. It feels calming and it feels more hopeful.
So I love that because what you did was you got curious about what was really going on underneath this, and you did this when you checked in, Jody. You said, yeah, this is about the fear, right? And so
yeah.
it's not about his success in school. This is about your fear about his success in school. And
yeah.
it's getting in the way. And so every time we get triggered by fear, we jump into problem-solving mode. We start throwing solutions at our kids, and that's exactly what you described. Or we run away, right? So some of us are like ostriches in the sand. So it's like, I don't want to know how my kid's doing because I'm too afraid. Or, oh my gosh, I'm terrified. I've got to fix this right now.
Right. Sometimes both.
Sometimes both at the same time. So what do you think you need to do to begin to reprogram yourself with this new thought a little bit?
I need to really think before I have the conversation with him. I need time to get centered and think about the thought, you know, what could also be true, that, you know, there's possibility he's going to get the help he needs before I launch into the conversation with him, because, you know, life, it's busy, and he walks in the room and there he is, and he's, because he's on spring break, he's a target. And that's not going to work. That's not going to be effective. I need to pause.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So what else is coming up for you guys? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say to Lori real quick, just to make you feel a little bit better. My youngest is 14. He's a boy and he's so picky with his food. It's maddening. And he's not skinny. He eats tons of sugar. So I get you. It's hard.
Yeah. It's really hard. I just
well, right. Sometimes,
it.
I mean, I'm totally the enabler. I'm the one that brings home the Cheetos and all the crud. It's like I gotta say, and there's apples there too, but that's never a choice. But yeah,
It's hard. Well, that's another one. So that's another one you could, you know, post out there. But it's you know, I think a lot of us have that same challenge, and it's about finding snacks that feel healthy enough. that, you know, that you encourage them to eat, you know, whether it's like you require them to have something protein if they eat a box of Cheez-Its. That's what the rule is at our house. You can eat a box of Cheez-Its, but you have to eat something protein too.
And it's interesting. When she was 2 or 3 in preschool, there was a boy that had significant ADHD, and she has really ADD. And I remember being introduced to the Feingold diet. And so we did that, and it was amazing when she was 4 that she could, we could remember walking down the street and actually holding hands and thinking, oh, my gosh, it's great, because she's so sensitive to other food coloring. But then once you get into school, you know, I remember kindergarten, and the teachers were using M&Ms for counting. And I'm like, oh, my God, all the food coloring. And so some of that I can – there's organic stuff now, but it's still hard to – it's different when they were 4 than when they're – teenagers.
Go ahead.
Sticking to me, which is interesting, it kind of allows us to do that pause, because we all have difficulties with that, and or at least I do, and others have mentioned, is that basically thinking, you know, my perfect example is last night. She came in, and while she was supposed to write in this paper and then always doing reading, she had spent has about a page and a half listing every single Grey's Anatomy character, the number of episodes, and when they were acting. So she got up from research, and I thought, oh, my God, what are you doing wasting your time on all that stuff when you have – I didn't say it, but I thought that. And I kind of went, oh, okay, you know. But I think that this curiosity discussion would at least allow me to stop and say, you know, what's going on, and she likes all that, and then why am I reacting? You know, I think I was reacting because she had other stuff to do, and I wanted her to not get distracted. I want her to do that. I mean, she ended up – but so the pause would just allow me to kind of cool down and say, well, she gets it done, and if she doesn't get it done, well, that's her consequence. And, you know, so I think it's an interesting exercise, and I could definitely see how I could use it pretty regularly.
Yeah. So when you think about her and this situation with the food, and you get curious there, Lori, what do you notice?
I mean, sometimes I blew up like that one time, because it's like, come on, you ate the food when it was totally – when it was chicken tetrazzini or something, and she ate it when it was fresh. She just didn't like it when I took it out. So it was just like that type of thing. And it was just – finally she was eating something besides – you know, whatever, she was eating something better for her. But I think it's, you know, when I'm calmer and we're not rushed, and I say, okay, you don't want that, what are some other options? And then we kind of negotiate, and she chooses something that's acceptable.
So in those moments when it's harder to stay calm, what do you think is different?
Maybe rush for going to school, or I don't know, you know, I have bad days or loss of control. You just think, you know, you have this control thing. It's like, well,
yeah.
And you also, as mothers, I think there's also a belief, gosh, you got to feed your kids and feed them well. And I'm not healthy. And ironically, I've gained like 70 pounds since I adopted her. It's just ridiculous now that I have all this baby weight from adoption, you know, but because I struggle.
Well, so there's judgment in there. So there's self-judgment in there, both in terms of your own health and your own, and also kind of how could you possibly allow your child to eat this way? I mean, there's both of those things going on. And her health, right.
Yeah.
So, and it sounds like when you're a little bit more worn out or tired or frustrated, you know, the hungry, angry, lonely, tired, H-A-L-T. I don't know if you guys have heard that me talk about that before, but it's like when any one of those 4 things happens, we're more likely to get triggered and more likely to kind of fall into some of those patterns. So is there a mantra for you, like there was for Jody, that you think that you could use to kind of create some space for curiosity, Lori?
Well, I think if I could just in my head say, okay, what's going on? Just because even just saying that, even if I right away react, at least I've said that and it paused for a couple seconds. And so the odds,
so what's,
you know,
going on with me? Is that what you mean, what's going on with me?
Both, I think.
Okay.
What's going on in the situation? Because I think it was good that you were talking about what's going on with her. I mean, why isn't it interesting that she only eats pizza, macaroni, and cheese? You know, so that's one thing. But I would say, ugh, enough. You know, that's hard. That's hard to go after that. But then also, what's going on with me? Why am I so bothered that she would always just eat this food? You know, and so it just makes me think a little bit, and it might end it there, but it might end at, okay, let's be more reflective. But at least it's cooled me down for that 2 seconds, you know.
Right. So part of it is, so the what's going on is like your trigger management tool.
Yeah.
So is there something that would be helpful for you to remember to ask the question?
I think it's just repeating it in my mind when it comes up. Just try to make it kind of just an automatic type of thing. It's like when they used to have rubber bands or something to click, you know, to remember something, or around your wrist or something. I don't know. So I think it's just a matter of saying, okay, this is heated, whether it's about food or homework or whatever it might be. Let's pause and sit, figure out what's going on. And you know.
Yeah. So Kathy, where are you in all of this?
I'm trying to not jump in and give all sorts of suggestions to fix it. Because, of course, it's easier to fix other people's concerns than your own. Where am I in all of this? I'm actually thinking that where I need to take aim is sort of similar to when my daughter says something to not immediately push back. I think I tend to automatically say no or negotiate right away instead of just considering what she's asking.
Mm-hmm.
She crawled into my bed last night, which is very unusual, and she asked me if she could have teen girls over for her birthday to sleep over, and I was like, no, never. And so we ended up negotiating back and forth about how many girls could come, when I never really thought, do I want to have this party? Is this the kind of party I want to have? And if so, why not? Kind of thing, like just doing it more just objectively rather than starting to negotiate right away. So the pause thing makes a lot of sense.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Because I was going to suggest that you get curious around this whole thing around being more open, you know, because that was kind of the area you wanted to take in. If you get curious about what it is about kind of the family dynamic or her brain or life in general that's making it hard for her to be open right now, what do you notice?
I always think it's about me and our relationship.
Okay.
And that it's just a hard dynamic and we're less accepting of her.
Okay. So what else could it be? So it could be that she's kind of shutting down because of a dynamic that two of you have created. What else could be going on?
She's just too tired to think about it or articulate it and surviving.
Okay, so she's in survival mode. She's a little exhausted. It's just too much work for her. What else?
The process at home. What am I getting curious about?
Kind of why it's hard for her to be open.
Because then we'll ask questions. And then I think it's a lot of work. She has ADD, I have ADD. I think it's a lot of work for her to figure it out, articulate it, and make sense.
So it may be even hard for her to even explain what's going on in her head, and you're asking her to do something that just feels like it's a struggle for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things I didn't say earlier when I was talking about curiosity, but one of the things I like to challenge everybody to do is to when we're getting curious, is to really kind of come up with three things that it might be that's going on. Because what we tend to do is we get curious and then we kind of latch on to one thing. Oh, she's having a hard time eating because she wants more control in her life, which may or may not be true. But if we challenge ourselves to come up with more than one thing, it it helps us to kind of avoid that pattern of jump into solution right away, because we're like, oh, this is exactly what it is, and I'm going to do this. So that was kind of why I took you to that exercise, Kathy, of asking what were three possible things that might be going on for her. So knowing that there's several things that might be going on for your daughter in this situation, where does that take you in terms of how to approach the conversation with her about, increasing the openness a little bit?
I'm not sure. I think it comes back to me, like, just letting her say what she's thinking and not pushing back on it or judging it or, you know, being overwhelmed by it. Like she said, I got a math tutor, and I was like, oh, what prompted that? She said, I'm failing, bro. It's like, good job. But, you know, it's kind of like, this is how we learn about what's going on sort of in these episodes.
So
or,
if you begin to react differently when she does share, you're saying that that'll create an environment to make it easier for her to share moving forward.
I think so.
That makes sense.
For one.
How hard will that be for you?
It's so hard.
Okay, so what gets in the way?
I can come up with a better solution, or we can come up with a better solution if we brainstorm. Then hoping somebody in her class will tutor her well, which she's done for physics and which has not been super successful.
So it's probably true that if she works with you to come up with a solution, that it may be a better solution. Is the real goal to solve the problem or to help her to begin to learn how to solve her own problems?
Ultimately, I guess we want her to solve the problem.
Well, and there's no right answer here. I mean, I'm not looking for a right answer here. I'm asking because there are times that we say, you know what, I just got to solve this problem and move on. This is not going to be a growth opportunity because I have a boundary here. Or it may be, you know what, I really am trying to get her to begin to step up. And so it may be more important that it be her decision than it be the best decision. Does that distinction make sense?
Yes, although she's getting older and I feel like the stakes get higher and higher, and so we've let her
do
the tutoring.
They do.
You know,
yeah, and
so
I got to tell you.
She won't get the tutor that, you know, a professional tutor, because she doesn't like them. I don't know, and she's interested in medicine, so, like, I don't know that it's a great idea to just let her fail physics if she's ultimately going to want to go into medicine. But at the same time, yeah, that can't be my problem because.
Well, and there's a trade-off here because as you're saying this, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm 54 years old and the stakes are pretty high. But if my mom called and wanted to help me make my decisions, I'd be like, come on, mom. You know, so at some point in the future, you're going to need to transition from your level of involvement now to the level of involvement where you're in a less involved place. And this is the dance we all go through. It's kind of like, how do I decide where are the issues where I get really involved and where are the issues that I let it slide? And what happens with a lot of us is that we get into hypervigilant mode. And so because the stakes are high in one area, we tend to be like, oh my gosh, and we try to control everything. And so I think that that's the challenge for all of us is to kind of say, am I being hypervigilant here, or am I really saying, no, this is an important decision that I want to hold her accountable to making with me instead of without me? So what comes up for you as I say that?
I want to cry. It just takes a lot of mental effort that I don't know if I can pull in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be hard because the stakes are high. I mean, all three of you guys are tapping into this fear today, and it's palpable. I mean, I was just talking to a dad at lunchtime today, and we both got seniors, and it's like, the stakes feel really stinking high, and it's scary. So what else is true besides the fact that the stakes are high and it's really scary, Kathy?
That we'll follow through when she really wants to, and that she's capable and generally is making reasonable, decent life decisions no matter how short her skirts are. And that she knows we're here to support her.
And she's got a really dedicated mom who's got her back and is keeping an eye out to make sure nothing big falls through the cracks.
Yeah. As you say that, I'm like, what are the big things that I need to be tracking?
So take a deep breath in that. Take a deep breath in that. How will you know when it's the right time to step in and when it's the right time to let her take the lead?
It's a matter of safety or a matter of fairness or a matter of what I want, then that's okay.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the piece of it. The more conscious we are about where we want to step in and where we don't, it can make a big difference. And I think the other piece of it is that there's a scaffolding here. And then there's an article out on the website talks about kind of, I think it's called What to Do When Your Kid Says, I've Got It. But I think it can be a really great tool to use for these situations where it's like we want to let them take as much responsibility as they can, but we want to make sure that we're kind of stepping in. You know, so you create a check-in. So it's kind of like, I have confidence that you can make this decision for yourself, and I'm going to hold you accountable to make this decision by next Thursday. Because there's a deadline here. So let's talk on Wednesday and see where you're at to make sure you're comfortable with your decision, which is a way of scaffolding, but holding her accountable for making the decision. Does that distinction make sense, Kathy?
Yeah, that's helpful to actually realize I can ask questions that might not be as hard for her to answer about, like, well, when's your next test or something like that. So it would help her that would give me information to make a decision more objectively rather than freak out and find all the physics tutors everywhere and see who she might like. And as you're saying that too, I'm realizing that I need to have something to say, like my son wanted to drive the car, and I said to him, and he was like, well, I've been asking if I can drive the car. I expected you to do all your errands before, you know, whatever. And he just got his license a month ago and he did the weekend. And I said to him, well, remember, it's new for us too. And that's sort of, it helped us all to be like, okay, it's messy and we're not totally prepared to move forward. And I feel like I need a phrase like that for her to say, well, to help me pause, so that I can definitely say something. I cannot not say something, but I can say something to help me wait.
Well, and this is the thing, is that we all get into this habit of thinking, well, either I'm, you know, it's there's two ends of the spectrum. We know how to be in charge, and we know how to completely let go, right? And both of those are very clear to us. It's the in-between part that becomes difficult. And there's lots of different kinds of questions that you can ask that, you know, even if we're just looking at homework, it's like, did you do your math tonight versus, you know, how do you know what your homework is tonight? Or, you know, when are you going to do your homework? Or how can I, you know, there's just all of these levels of accountability that you can hold them to. And it's about finding the question that you can ask, because you want to do something, you want to be involved, but doing it in a, asking it in a way that's still holding them accountable and says, hey, I know you got this, and I'm here if you need me.
Yeah.
So I want to move us to our wrap up, ladies. On page 45, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? And I know that we talked about curiosity, but there was probably something that kind of was holding your interest, either a situation at home or a part of the conversation. What is your clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that you had? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how do you set yourself up for success with this action? So take a few minutes, jot down a few notes. I would love to hear from each of you at least one aha and an action item that you want to commit to for the next couple weeks.
You just said, I know you've got this, and that was like a light going off. I feel like if I say that out loud when I talk to him, it will set a better tone. And that piece where, you know, rather than thinking, oh, he's going to fail, I'm confident that he has the help and will use the help to succeed. And then start asking, then start getting curious about where he is and how he hopes to handle it. I think the I know you've got this part would help, just saying it out loud would help me get to that pause piece before I get into judgment and fear. So that's my takeaway, and that's, I hope to, we're driving over to pick up his car here shortly, so we'll have some time in the car, which is always kind of a good time to talk, and that's my plan.
Awesome. Love that. What do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
I think just, as I thought about it before, that kind of breathing and being prepared for the conversation before I get into it, having that idea of how I'm going to start this and how I'm going to stay curious rather than going into lecture mode. So just being prepared, I guess.
Okay. Awesome. Well,
I had two things. I think the, like what did I pay attention to was really, look, you know, when emotional situations come up, whether it's food or homework, basically ask ask to myself or ask to her, you know, what's going on, and then also look at it with myself, because even if we can't find the answer to that or she says nothing, at least it's brought us to a cooler place, and that's key. I think the aha was when the discussion was about when do we step in and make decisions, because at 13, I can, for with her, I find that I step in way too often. And I think it's easy. It's sometimes easy to say, okay, when can you step in? Like homework situation, she always tends to get it done, and it's a lower risk if she doesn't. But I like this statement about saying, you know, I have confidence in your ability, and we're going to hold you accountable, and then check back for things like getting your homework done or sticking to a homework schedule. And I think that also will help her boost her confidence. So there's not anything, you know, lingering thoughts about how mom doesn't approve of me because I get distracted and things like that. So I think that's what I'm going to be doing, is both when emotional situations come up, try to think of what's going on, and then hold her accountable. And I think she'll like that. And if she kind of goes off track, figure out why is she not able to stick to a schedule or whatever we agree upon.
So how does that feel in terms of, doability, I guess is the question, Lori.
I think we put together the schedule, and maybe we have kind of a check-in after each. I mean, she tends to do a subject and then takes a little break, and maybe we can check in. I mean, sometimes I'm on top of her saying, okay, you know, you're still working on your math, let's do this. I think I would love it to be able to step back and just have check-ins, and then if she's, I like to get everything done, especially in middle school. There's not a whole bunch of homework, but early. So in the evenings, we have it free. But that's my whole thing, because I know that, you know, I can't be reading a book or watching TV completely without knowing that she's up there, because I have to keep checking on her. But she gets it done. So I just have to adjust what I want versus what's reality.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you're very conscious about it. And there's some potholes in this, and you know, so it's about kind of noticing and watching how you respond, you know, when the holes show up again, because they always do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. What else? Kathy, right?
Yeah. I think the aha was for me that it really was about fear of, you know, in part letting something slip through the cracks, because I have ADD, so I'm always anxious about that, about getting distracted and forgetting stuff. And in part, and realizing she does got this. Whatever it is. So, my takeaway is that I can just encourage her and not interrogate her. And I think a realistic action step for me to take is, I thought about just some questions to ask, like if you, first just saying, let me think about it, or can you text that to me so I can think about it so I don't forget, and I will get back to you at a certain time. And the other was to say, well, if you found a solution, how would you know it's working? And if it's not working, do you need to do something by a certain time, like the tutoring thing? So I think just figuring out phrases that are more objective rather than either my best solution or my fear. It just feels really good. It feels to seem like I'm going to make sense to my child.
So how, I mean,
and
so
maybe
how,
that will help her share more.
Yeah. So do you feel like you've got those phrases, that you've got a little bit of homework to kind of come up with some phrases? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I think I can come up with it if I just remember she's to that it's not exactly my that it can be just a bunch of things that's going on when she, you know, grunts instead of saying hello or whatever. That if I can just be like, "Nate, you need a minute," or something, rather than like, "How rude, you have to say hello when you come home." Then, I mean, if I think about it, I think I should just think about how I would treat my best friend, and that way I won't be appalled that this is my child that I have trained.
Yeah. There's a tool, I don't know if we've ever talked about it before, that Elaine and I use in all of our coaching settings. It's called Designing the Alliance, and it's a great way to make an agreement with someone else, whether it's a business partner or a spouse or a kid. And it's by saying, you know, you say, this is what I need from you, and this is what you can count on from me. And then you each do that. So it's kind of like, you know, if I was having this conversation with my son, I would say, you know, this is what I need from you, and this is what you can count on from me. What do you need from me, and what can I count on from you? And you really kind of just have a dialogue around a particular topic or a particular area, but I just kind of throw that out, Kathy, because that might be an interesting tool for you to use with your daughter and say, I'd like to have more communication with you. How do we kind of design an agreement for kind of how we want to work to agreement? Sounds like a strong thing, but it's not. It's really how we want to design how we're going to communicate with each other. So, all right.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, ladies, thank you so much for being here today. Next week is a Lifeline week. We're Thursday at 8 p.m. on the 16th, and then PSS is the week after that. And please email us or post in the forum if you have any questions, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Great, thank you.